County and the neighboring church. And I bring you greetings from the Shining Light Christian Fellowship in Millersburg, Ohio. And I've heard Allen County in our, just here and there in the last few years, the name Allen County has come up, and I've heard Burn Christian Fellowship and some of these churches I haven't been familiar with. And so it's just been a real blessing to be here with you this morning and actually put faces to the name Allen County Christian Fellowship. You know, it's just, we have these church names, but these church names represent people. They represent people. And I really appreciate what you shared, Benji, this morning. And the burden that God has laid on my heart for a message has to do with the bride of Christ. And we really can't be a witness to the world unless we're pure as and spotless as His bride, the church. I've entitled the message, and I think I'm going to write it on the board here. If it doesn't like when I turn around. Can you see that okay? That one needs... If I use a black one, that might be better. Let's try that again. It's been some years that the Lord has been putting a burden on my heart for the church. Let's do a capital B here. That's a little small, but I think you can get the point there. The three B's of the body of Christ. The three B's. You don't know what they are yet, but we're going to go through each one of these. The three B's of the body of Christ. Could we stand for a word of prayer? Let's do that. Our dear Father in heaven, we stand before you in gratefulness for what you have done for us, for the church, your bride. You have laid down your life for us. And I thank you for the freedom we have in this country to be a living expression of the kingdom of God here in little local bodies all over the U.S. Thank you that we can be these lights, these cities set on a hill. Thank you, Father, for the church, the universal church. And someday, Father, we are just really looking forward to that day when we can be married to you, the groom, and we can be part of this great marriage feast that you're preparing. Father, I pray that you would just speak to us today. Take these thoughts, maybe the scatteredness, however it's presented, and just pull it together and make it impactful. Speak to all of us, Father, including myself. Father, we need this message. We need to understand how the church functions, how the church operates, so that we can be pure and spotless and powerful and impactful in our communities. Just come down and pour out your Spirit here upon us, Lord. Be with my feeble lips and mind as I try to transmit your burden to the people here. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. That song that was sung earlier, number 341, was just a real blessing. In fact, I was in tears. Thank you for that water. I was in tears when I saw this. The words of this song and how well it's fitting with the burden on my heart. The end of the last verse, song 341. Call them into thy wondrous light, worthy to walk with thee in white. Make up thy jewels, Lord, and show thy glorious spotless church below. From every sinful wrinkle free, redeemed from all iniquity, the fellowship of saints make known, and oh my God, may I be one. May we be one. Beautiful words. You know, God is looking. God is looking for healthy body members, ones that belong to each other, blend their differences, and build on the living stone. The three B's of the body of Christ: belonging, blending, and building. It's what we'd like to look at. We're going to spend a majority of the time on the first point, belonging. Belonging to the body of Christ. You know, the church, the body of Christ, is made up of fallible human beings. The kingdom of God is infallible. It's a set of standards that's infallible. It's perfect. And we are to be the expression, all these little nucleuses all over the world, we're to be an expression of that infallible kingdom of God. Isn't that amazing how God has entrusted such a responsibility to fallible, imperfect humans? Anybody perfect here? Really? No one is perfect. But yet you're sitting together and you're trying to be the expression of the kingdom of God to the world around, just like Benji was talking about. It's an awesome responsibility. You know, the church is the apple of Christ's eye. It's the apple of his eye. And you know, Satan knows that. Satan knows that. And Satan today has his crosshairs on the church. His crosshairs are on the church. Sadly, many are falling away. Many churches are compromising. They're going along with the flow. And sadly, among our people, many churches are allowing strife to take over. I'm glad I hardly know anybody here. So I can preach this message, the burden that God laid on my heart. And I don't know much about you all here. But, you know, the church, we can go in all directions with this. And a lot of us probably have questions about church. You have questions. How much authority does the church have over my life? What role does the leadership have in the church? How much can they say? What if I strongly disagree with the brotherhood? Is there a time to leave and go to another brotherhood? Those are questions that our churches wrestle with. And there's a lot of unrest, it seems like. A lot of unrest. And there's a little bit of, maybe a lot, of picking and choosing. There's a smorgasbord of churches. I know in Holmes County where we have a few too many churches on one pile. And it's pretty easy to just kind of hop around until you find someone that thinks like you do. You know what I'm talking about? It's easy, very easy to get into that mode of thinking. If I don't agree here, I jump over here. And I stay there until I don't agree with them, and then I jump on to the next one. And that's happening in a lot of churches. So we wrestle with these things. And again, I don't have all the answers. I'm wrestling with you. But I'd like to give us today a picture of a healthy, functioning body, local body. What it looks like. What does a healthy body look like? And then you all make application here. I don't know you all. And hopefully you'll leave here with a greater burden for the church, the bride of Christ, a deeper burning passion to perfect each other in love. That's why we're here. You know, if that wouldn't be necessary, we wouldn't need to gather. We could all do it on our own, right? Let's all stay home and watch a televangelist online or something, right? No. There's something that we need, and that's why we collectively gather together as a body. God is looking for healthy body members, ones that belong to each other, blend their differences, and build on the living stone. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 12 for a text this morning. 1 Corinthians 12 is just a loaded chapter when you really dig into it. And I think we're just going to read the whole thing. And I spent some time in the country of Romania, serving there with my family some years ago. And I often think about some of the culture in Romania that has taught me something. And they have, I know this Bible is not a, like some of the Catholics maybe would hold it up a little too high. This is text, it's paper, but it's the words of God. It's God-breathed, so it is precious. And they have a high respect for the Bible. Whenever the Bible is read, they stand for the reading of the Word. And I like that practice. So why don't we stand for the reading of the Word in 1 Corinthians 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man, speaking by the Spirit of God, calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, he's talking about the physical body here, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not the body, not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? I love that verse. But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all prophets? Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? The answer is no, right? But covet earnestly the best gifts. And yet show I unto you a more excellent way. You may be seated. God bless the reading of His Word. And then chapter 13 talks about the more excellent way. We won't get into that. We will touch on love some. But I believe as God, back at the creation, was standing there, maybe kneeling, I don't know how He was there, bent over the dust, lump of clay, and He started forming that body, forming the first human being on earth. I think that God was thinking of the church. God was thinking of the church as He formed Adam. Because if you look at this scripture that we just read, it's all over is the comparison to the body, the human body. The church is a comparison. He compares it to the body, the human body. We're not one member. We're many. I don't know how many members. Did you ever count all the members of your body? We have all kinds of members, but one body. God's plan for His bride is that we belong to a local group. And I'm right now in the middle of studying this whole thing of church membership, and we won't get into that much today. But that's a fascinating subject, and God has been taking me on a journey with that. For some time, I kind of questioned, you know, are we making too big of a deal about being a member of a church, you know? And I think there's a misconception in a lot of people's minds with membership. And I told someone just the other day, we were talking about it, and I said, I wonder if it has to do with what we call it, membership. Because there are a lot of clubs out there, right? Social clubs, Sam's clubs, all kinds of clubs. What do you do to join a club? You have to follow the agreement, follow the requirements, right? Sign your name, give them your address. Then you get a card. And that card and a paper that follows it gives you all these benefits, right? So by joining a club, it's to get the benefits. That's why you join a club. Is that how the church operates? Are you a member here so that you benefit? Yeah, it's maybe a little tricky question because we do benefit from being together, right? But we're not here to suck it out of the church. We're not here to just pull and benefit just because it's for me. And so I've been really, my eyes have been opened to what church membership really is. And maybe we should start calling it a covenant or a church commitment, because that's really what it is. That's what we're talking about. And you can't do that in the universal church. God has designed, He has the universal bride of Christ. But if you look through Scripture, there are all over Scripture, there are so many verses that say one another, one another, one another. Do a study on the one another verses, and you will see over and over and over again that there is no way you can do the one another's with people in China. How many washed somebody's feet in China, right? Maybe when you're over there, but on a regular basis, how can you be subject one to another with someone in China, the Christians in China? How can you submit yourself one to another? How can you admonish one another? How can you bear one another's burdens? Now there you can somewhat with the universal church. Serve one another. Exhort one another. And the list goes on. Membership is a commitment. Membership is saying, I need you, my brother, my sister. I need you. I need you to speak into my life. I need perfection. So I need you. It's not about signing your name. I'm not a member of Shining Light Organization. I'm not a member of the church building. To me, my membership is my brothers and sisters that I'm a part of. I'm committed to them. In fact, may I say, membership is a giving up of self to your brother. Membership is being subject to your brother. That's membership. That's membership. That's belonging to one another. John Piper says there is something unnatural about a Christian attaching himself to a body of believers and not being a member of that body. There's something unnatural about attaching yourself. I'm part of the church. Yes, I'm part of the universal church. But, oh, don't get too close to me. I don't need my close brothers here, right? So church membership, a covenant, is an intimate thing. How well do you know your brothers and sisters in your church? Now, when it gets that intimate, now I have a responsibility to you, to you, to you. You see, I come here this morning, I walk in the door, I look around, and I see people. I think Benji and Tricia here are the only ones I know. But I don't know the rest of you. Can I? You don't even know my life, right? I mean, you might have heard about it. Hopefully it's good. But can we actually do that? I mean, that's how this church hopping happens. That's how these people that sit at home saying, oh no, I don't need anybody else, I can watch the preachers online, that's really what they're saying. They don't know anybody. They're just taking whatever comes to them. We can't be intimate like that. It's like marriage. Those of us who are married, it's like what's happening in the world with marriage is what's happening with the church. People want the intimacy. They want the pleasure that it brings them. But they don't want the commitment to marriage. They don't want the accountability. Right? So they're hopping around. They're church hopping from lady to lady to lady and man to man. They're church hopping. They want the intimacy, but they don't want the accountability. They don't want the commitment. So we need to belong to a local body. We need it. My hand never thinks about what it can get out of the rest of my body. It never sucks energy out of my body. It's working in sync. Everything about me right now is working to talk and deliver this message. My body isn't fighting. Different parts aren't coming up and saying, no, sit down. It's working together in sync. It's beautiful. Let me illustrate it this way. So my stomach says, I'm hungry. My whole body perks up, right? The nose at that point shares its intuition of where the smell of food is coming from. That might happen soon, right? What direction is this food coming from? Where's the kitchen? So your nose kicks in. The feet catch a real vision, right? Feet catch a vision. And at a brother's meeting, they present a plan on how to move towards this smell. How can we get this body to that smell? Because the stomach is saying, I'm hungry. And they offer their services because the feet have a real gift in moving this body. They have a real gift. The hands also caught the vision, and they're getting all ready to feed this mouth. The mouth pitches in without even being told, and it starts watering. Right? You do that when you're hungry, mouth starts watering. Who told it to do that? It's all kicking in because the stomach is calling for food. This body has a clear vision. This body has a purpose. And when it walks to that kitchen or the dining area, it has one thing in mind. And the whole body is involved. And it works together. Now on the way to get food for the stomach, the foot trips on a ledge and stubs its little toe. Now, does the body just say, ah, that little member down there, he's so insignificant. Ah, let's go. We got to get food to the stomach. Come on, let him on behind. Doesn't matter. No. Watch what happens. When I stub my toe, how much of my body is involved? Oh. Right? Eyebrows furrow. My mouth opens. My body goes into shock. I might start sweating. My foot comes up. My hands reach down. the whole body suffers with that little toe. It suffers right with it. Are you getting the picture? 1 Corinthians 12:26, when one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. All the members. So the sign of a healthy body is when you can cry together, when you can rejoice together. When one of your children gives their hearts to the Lord, church rejoices. Amen. They encourage that sister or brother. When there's a loss of a family member, the church weeps with you. Everybody's around, and what can I do to help? And they're bringing in food. Maybe you've experienced that. We have recently, the loss of my mother, and it was a beautiful picture of the body of Christ. Beautiful picture. We are members one of another. Christ has called us to a fellowship of the gospel. A fellowship of the gospel. Together we are called the church. Ephesians 4 talks about the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. Are you supplying something into Allen County or into the neighboring church? I forget the name. Are you supplying something into your local church? Now, I'd like to get really practical here. I love practical sermons. And hopefully you can make application to your church here. But I'd like to look, since God used the body as an example, let's look at the body. Let's tear this body apart and look at some of the different parts, how they function together, and make application to the church as a body. Let's start with the bones. You all have a lot of bones here, right? A lot of bones sitting on the bench. Bones hold us up. They protect important organs. They're levers for force and movement. Blood is produced in the bone marrow. Now in the church, bones, I'm going to liken them to our prophets. Those who are more cautious. They think things through. They look ahead. They consider how this decision will affect us as a body. They're slower to accept new ideas. These are the bones in your church. They are kind of solid. Maybe people look at them a little bit rigid or maybe a little traditional, right? We don't like those words. The bones are cautious. They're your prophets. Are the bones needed? Desperately. Desperately. Every church body needs bones. Every human body needs bones. Now, in your physical body, bones do not work alone. And you don't want a church full of bones, right? You don't want a church full of prophets that are always pulling back and cautious, right? And this is where the beauty comes in. Now we have muscles. Muscles. Muscles are necessary for movement, and you probably don't realize how much your muscles are used with the bones for movement. They cross over the bone joints all over your body. The muscles are crossing over. They're connecting the bones with tendons, which allow the muscles to pull on the bones. Did you get that? They pull on the bones. When I go like this and I lift something up, there is actually there's tension between the muscles and the bones. That's used. That's how you can actually do something with your hand, is because of tension between the muscles and the bones. Now, there are different kinds of muscles. There's a smooth muscle. It's an involuntary muscle. And these muscles do things without the brain really telling them. They kind of do things involuntarily. Your stomach has these muscles, and they help get your food down. If you're sick, these helpful muscles help relieve the contents of your stomach through the esophagus. otherwise known as vomiting. Those are involuntary muscles that just do it without being told. Now, these muscles are usually behind the scenes doing their work. They keep your eyes focused. Do you ever think about a camera? When you put a camera up, you have to constantly focus, or you hear it inside. It's focusing. Our eyes, as we scan, are constantly focusing without being told. It's just automatic. It's an involuntary muscle called the smooth muscle. In the body of Christ, we need smooth muscles. We need smooth muscles. Muscles that just, behind the scenes, they're working. They're just pitching in. They're doing this. Someone has a need, and they're just pitching right in. Now, the muscles in the body of Christ are full of vision. Amen? Muscles have vision. Muscles move. They get you somewhere. Let's do something. They're the ones coming up with all the new ideas. Hey, we should do this. Let's go do that. Look at this opportunity. Oh, we should renovate the church. We should do... Yes, let's go. Right, Benji? We have muscles. Muscles are visionary. And it's okay to... It's okay to tag people as... We have prophets. We have different gifts. He's visionary. He's this. We need to identify them so we know how to relate and work together. I'm trying to give you a picture, and then we're going to pull it together of how these two can work. But the muscles are full of vision. And they help keep the bones from staying in one place. That's why you don't want a church full of bones, right? We need the muscles to move us. The muscles are so important. Now, the muscles and the bones are two very opposite parts, right? Two very opposite parts. Is one more spiritual than the other? If someone isn't visionary, are they less spiritual? No. No. Is one more of a pillar in the church than the other? Are the bones more the pillars and the muscles are the loose ones? And you never know what they're going to come up with next. No. If they're following Jesus, if they're walking in the light, God has planned and ordained the church to have muscles and bones both in the same congregation. And maybe you're making application. Maybe you're thinking of people right now. Oh, he's a bone, he's a muscle. Yeah. Yeah, that's good. We need to identify it because we need both. We need the muscles, we need the bones. We need the cautious, we need the visionary. We need the ones that ask questions at a brother's meeting. So what do you think about this? So where will this take us down the road? So I wonder how does the world look at this? And then the visionary listen. Ah, oh, I never thought of it that way. Yeah, that's a good point, Brother Bone. Yeah. You know? And they're working together. To do what? To move forward, right? Now the brain is our command center. We get direction from our brain. The brain is the boss of your body. It runs the show. You have a brain tumor, it kills you eventually because the brain controls almost everything you do, even when you're asleep. Coordination, or brain control, is what they call it. It means moving together toward a common goal. So when the brain says, feed me, I'm hungry, then the muscles and the bones all over coordinate to get that done. Coordination controls how much strength each muscle gives to movement, how much muscle tone each muscle carries, how muscle creates posture and balance. My muscles today are working like crazy to keep me balanced because I have this force above me pushing down. It's called gravity. And my body is all standing on this little surface of foot, this heavy body. But my muscles are constantly doing this. They're pulling on the bones and they're keeping me straight, my posture, keeping balance. Coordination is the intelligence that controls movement. And get this, usually no single muscle causes a movement. No single muscle. Nobody goes out on a limb by themselves. Muscles always pull upon bones to which other muscles attach. I hope you're thinking of practical applications here. The brain is the head of the church, King Jesus. God Almighty is the brain. He controls the church. He is the head. No single muscle causes a movement. No member of the body of Christ goes out on a limb by themselves. And it takes many muscles working together to pull in a direction. Now, as your brain control, your coordination improves, the usable strength of your body improves. So it is in the body of Christ. The closer each one of us is to God, the more usable strength the body will have. Muscles will always pull on bones. That's an interesting one to consider. But there needs to be a healthy, healthy tension lathered with love. And that's why he says, "And yet show I you a more excellent way." You can have all the best ideas, muscles. You can have all the caution and questions, bones. But if there isn't love, it's all nothing. Love, lathered with love. And if you don't take anything else home today, take that home. You need love in the church for these differing gifts, the differing body parts to work together. It needs to be lathered with love. So let me illustrate it this way. Brother Muscle has a vision. He has a vision for the song service at church. And I love all your singing here this morning. That was a real blessing. But he feels that there should be more singing. Because really, I mean, the Bible says, you know, enter into his gates with singing and into his courts with praise. We really need a lot more singing. So Brother Muscle proposes an idea, brothers meeting. And he said we really should have a longer time of singing. And in fact, many churches have a praise and worship time, you know, maybe an hour or so of praise and worship. And I really think this would really be a blessing for our church. Sounds like a good vision, Brother Muscle, doesn't it? Sounds like a good vision. Does anyone have any cautions? Any cautions about Brother Muscle's vision of praise and worship time at church? Well, Brother Bones slowly starts in. And he shares his heart. He shares a caution with Brother Muscle about the big hype that's out there in the churches. There's a lot of cheap praise songs in the praise and worship time. He agrees with Brother Muscle that we do need more singing, and note that. He agrees with his vision, but he's sharing careful caution. He shares an example of maybe a church, a local church, and what kind of praise and worship they have. He also shares a caution about putting the screen or the songs up on a screen that often goes along with the praise and worship. You get your cheap praise songs and eventually calls for a worship team up front and a worship leader, and you know, then you get into the band and all that. So Brother Muscle never really thought about these angles before. He never thought about these points. That's some good points, Brother Bones. But this idea generates a big discussion among the brothers, very congenial discussion, and they're sharing ideas and cautions, both sides, how this could look if we could incorporate a little more singing into our service. And in the end, they come out with a very nice in-the-middle road that moves them towards more singing in the congregation. But it's a joint effort, and it's between Bones and Muscles, and they actually learn from each other. Beautiful. That's the picture I want to give you, is that the beauty of working together with a healthy, God-ordained tension. And we don't like the word tension, but there is a good tension. There's a healthy tension. There's some other very important parts in your body. We have cartilage. Cartilage is peace. You find this, it's a cushion between each bone. It cushions your joints. Peace. Psalm 34:14 says, "Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and what? Pursue it. Run after it. Go get it. Where's peace? How can we find it?" That takes effort. Peace. Pursue peace in the brotherhood. Peace puts a cushion between the differing gifts. Peace puts a cushion between bones and muscles, and between bones themselves and muscles themselves. Calcium, it's a mineral that is necessary for life. Calcium. Calcium is so important. It builds bones, keeps them healthy. It glues the cells together. It regulates muscle contraction. It helps nerves communicate and send messages. Calcium in the church is encouragement and exhortation. Calcium is so needed to keep a healthy church. Exhortation, encouragement between brothers and sisters. I don't know how you exhort each other daily, but it is a command to exhort one another daily. How do you do it here? Ligaments and tendons. Now, I don't know how much you know about tendons. Maybe you tore a ligament one time, and you know how much a ligament and a tendon holds your bones and joints, everything together. A friend of mine one time was jumping up, and when he came back down, he landed wrong on his foot and snapped the ligament, and he crashed to the floor. He was not able to put any weight on that foot. That one ligament put him to the ground. There's no way your body could function without ligaments and tendons. Tendons connect muscle to bone. In the church, ligaments and tendons is love. And I already talked about love in 1 Corinthians 13, but without it, your brotherhood will not function. Without love. Just as the body will not stay together without ligaments, so the church will not stay together without love, the bond of love. And you know, we're not called to just plain love. We're called to something greater than just love. 1 Peter 4:8 says, "And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins." Ah, so I can go on sinning and charity will cover it? What does that mean? My father put it this way once. I don't know if this is exactly how you interpret that, but there's another scripture that talks about sins unto death and sins not unto death. I believe this multitude of sins that charity covers are the sins not unto death. These are the little idiosyncrasies among us, the things that rub us a little the wrong way. Do you have those here? Things that kind of, that brother did this, that sister, or he's not very polite, or I don't like the way he talks in brother's meeting, or I don't like the way, you have those, right? If you're human, I think you do. We all have those. Certain people that rub us a little the wrong way. Charity, fervent charity, covers the multitude of idiosyncrasies, the sins, the little imperfections among us. God is still perfecting us, right? We're fallible. The church is made up of imperfect humans. We're striving for perfection, like Benji said. We're striving for it. But we won't have a perfect church. And so we're going to have these sins among us that charity has to cover. Otherwise, they're going to get between us and they're going to tear the church apart. What's the sign to the world that you're His disciples? Somebody say it. If you have love for one another. I thought it was if you dress plain and dressed right, and isn't that what it is? That goes along with it. That goes along with it. But Jesus clearly said that if you have love, then the world will know that you're His disciples. And that's what 1 Corinthians 13 focuses on. It goes through a whole list of things, and there's more on there, or more that's not in there, that we could add. You could dress right. You can have the right standard. You can do everything right. You can look, you can smile, everything's perfect on the outside. But if there's not love, it's all nothing. It's all nothing. We need to move on. Blood. Blood is all over the body. Every single cell in your body needs to have access to blood. Blood supplies essential substances and nutrients, oxygen, sugar, and hormones to your cells. Blood carries away waste from your cells. Did you know that? Carries away waste. In the church, the blood in the body is the Holy Spirit. When every member is walking in the light and connected to the Holy Spirit, the brain, connected to the brain, Jesus, the blood flows freely. The Holy Spirit can move among us, just like blood in a body, through every cell. And it carries away the waste. It convicts, like the Bible says. And it strengthens, it encourages, it brings nutrients, it brings revelation, inspiration to the muscles, and it brings caution to the bones. We're directed by the same Spirit, like we just read. Are you walking in the light? Are you changing into His image? Did you know that your body is constantly changing over? You're getting new cells. You're getting new skin. The physical body was designed to repair itself, get rid of old stuff. Every month, you get an entirely new layer of skin. Did you know that? Every month. So I'm not looking at the same Benji that I did a few months ago. At least on the outward shell. He has a new shell. He got a new set of skin there. Bones. The tissue inside your bones is replaced in some places every 6 months. And there are these little things called osteoclasts. The osteoclasts break down bone. They actually go in there and they're actually eating away at your bone. We're still here. What's happening? Thank God for the osteoblasts. The osteoblasts come right behind and they make new bone. The osteoclasts are breaking away the old bone and osteoblasts are putting in new bone. That's constantly happening in your body. So the blood, the Holy Spirit, provides life to every cell. It constantly cleanses us, convicts us. The blood of Jesus, each cell of garbage, and runs it through a filter. We should constantly be changing into the image of Christ. Not staying at one place, right? Amen. We're going to have to move on here. I'd like to briefly look at some of the enemies that attack our body. Heart disease. Heart disease is the leading cause of death in the U.S. And it's caused by an unhealthy diet, a lack of exercise. It's a buildup of plaque in your arteries. And the blood flow is restricted. Get that? The blood flow is restricted. The Holy Spirit is restricted. In the body of Christ, heart disease is when we slack on our Bible reading and prayer, the very things that we need to keep going. Heart disease sets into the body of Christ when we have an unhealthy diet. We have a wrong intake. What is going in to our body? It's when you read books that do not strengthen your faith, watch movies that display sin, lust, and violence, listening to music that does not draw us closer to God, an overabundance of time on the internet or the news, following after the gods of this world, such as sports. And may I say, be careful with hunting. Hunting is one of those sly ones. I like deer meat, but we can do it without the sports emphasis. What are we following after? Entertainment, amusement, time wasters. You know where you're at. The daily intake, your diet, affects your walk with the Lord. It affects the body, the health of this body here. What do your spiritual arteries look like? Check your diet. Heart disease is a leading cause of death in the church. In the church, cancer, we're going to look at cancer as the second leading cause of death in the U.S. Cancer is the uncontrolled growth of abnormal cells in the body. And my mother just died from cancer. It's a horrible disease. it took her down. Over 4 years, it was longer than that, 4 years that she was diagnosed, it was an ugly, ugly disease. Cancer is rampant. It's when the old cells do not die and the cells grow out of control, they form abnormal new cells. And these extra cells form a mass of tissue called tumor. In the church, cancer is sin. Cancer develops when the Holy Spirit no longer has complete control of your life. And the cells don't get, the waste doesn't get taken away. And these abnormal cells are coming in. Sin affects the whole body. Oh, brothers and sisters, sin will destroy the church here at Allen County. There's sin in your life. And you can't tell at first. My mother couldn't tell that she had cancer for a while. It took a CAT scan. It took a not opening up, but a looking inside and analyzing her body. We need to do a CAT scan. We need to allow the Scriptures, the Holy Spirit, to constantly pierce through our bodies and show us if we have any cancer to get rid of. God, help us. Look inside. Would we want our lives up here on the board, the screen today? Let's look at a few sins that can destroy the body of Christ. Gossip and slander. If you want to destroy a brotherhood, if you want to destroy a body, start gossiping. Start slandering your brother or sister. Gossip is information about a person without the full truth. And when you pass that on, that is slandering that person. It's putting that person down. Unless you're part of the solution to the problem, don't pass it on. Gossip has destroyed many a relationship and many a church. And just as cancer feeds on sugar, gossip feeds on juicy stories. Somehow we like those. Adultery. Did you know that the sin of adultery is rampant in the church? And I'm hearing more and more in our own churches. And this might surprise you when I say adultery. The world uses the term pornography. I haven't found pornography in the Bible. I've found adultery a lot of places, where there is adultery all over Scripture. But look at what pornography really is. And consider this verse, Matthew 5:28, whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. I think it's time to call pornography adultery. That's what it is. Men, young boys, looking at a woman and lusting for her, you've committed adultery. You've done it. You don't have to go to that woman's house. You've committed it already in your heart. The Bible's very clear. God has no mercy for the adulterer. The adulterers have their place in the lake of fire. Adultery is cancer. Pornography, if you please, is cancer. It will destroy you. It will destroy the church. And I have a burden for that in our churches. Let it not be once named among you, as the Bible says. There are other diseases we don't have time to go into this morning, but God is looking for a healthy, healthy body, one that functions properly. You know, if you're human, you have blind spots. That's where we need each other, right? Do you know that you have blind spots? Do you know what your blind spots are? No. That's why they're blind spots. If you would know what your blind spots are, you wouldn't need anybody to tell you what they are. But we need our brothers. God designed the brotherhood to help each other show each other our blind spots. And this needs to be done with much love, prayer, and humility. This has been abused, and it can easily be abused. where now I go around pointing everybody's blind spots out. This is going to be a great, I can't wait to go tell everybody their problems. No. It has to be on your knees in humility, with prayer, seeking the Lord. Is this what you want me to share with this brother, this concern? But we need it, and then we need to be open for it ourselves. The second one is blending our differences in perfect harmony. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints. So there's a reason for our differences. We need the different gifts. And if you're born again, you have a gift. God gave you a gift. And it's to be used to perfect each other in the church. It's beautiful. And we must allow our brothers to use their gifts to speak into our lives. Let me illustrate it this way. I have a brother in my church, and he's taken a stand against the internet, the computer in his home. They have a computer in the barn for Cal Records. Cell phones, no texting on the cell phones. No smartphones, I think, as far as I know. Now, Brother Walter, this is a brother in our church, Brother Walter and I share a similar vision with our children. We want our children to grow up to be sons and daughters of the King. And we're doing everything we can to reach that goal. Now, how we lead our families looks a little bit different. I don't quite share that same vision with no internet, no texting, no computer in the home. We have a computer. We use it. We try to use it for kingdom work. But I bless Walter in his vision. Brother Walter has challenged me in my vision and has made me think more about my computer in our home. Is that how it should work? Amen. Are we different in how we live it out? A little bit. And I'm not talking about vast differences. And I think you're hearing me. It's not going out by yourself and doing whatever you want. It's challenging and moving each other towards perfection. And it's not going to look the same. But together we can help each other. And I was strengthened in my vision for my children from Brother Walter's testimony and sharing that. We need each other. Consider with me how critically important our varied gifts are when you consider music. Did you all sing soprano this morning? No. We had four parts in here. Totally distinct, different parts. You were singing a different note from your neighbor. Now, how is that? A different note. The kind of church, or this kind of church, a church that blends together, is a church that has beautiful harmony. Harmony. Now, when we all have to think the same, we all look the same, we all do the same, we're put in this box, there's really no beauty there, is there? We just all kind of are like robots. And there's no beauty. There's no acknowledgement of the differences in gifts. Harmony is only possible, however, when we sing the same song. Now, I wish I could demonstrate that with a group of people up here. I did this at our church some time ago, where I had a group of people that came up. They sang just soprano, and they sang the same note on Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved, all the way through. That's how it looks to be put in a box. There's no differences. Everybody does the same. Then I had them sing the same song, and we added... We sang, I think, just the soprano, maybe. I forget. But anyway, if we could do that here, you would see how much... Oh, I know what it was now. The second song, then, we all sang a different song. We started out, we started on the same pitch, and then we all went our different ways with a song. And we soon stopped. It was just confusion. And that's how it looks when we all go our own way. We all do our own thing. Let me alone. I don't need you. This is how I run my family. I'm the head of my home, and you let me do what I want. That's how it looks. But then we took out the hymn book and went to number 350, which I'd like for us to do. Number 350 in Hymns of the Church. Beautiful song, and we sang this in four parts. Beautiful four-part harmony. Now, we were singing the same song, and that is key to blending differences. We have to be in the same mind. We have to be in the same mind of Christ. We can't go off on a limb by ourselves. Heart with loving heart united, met to know God's holy will. Let His love in us ignited, more and more our spirits fill. He the head, we are His members. We reflect the light He is. He the master, we the brothers. He is ours and we are His. Do you know this song? Yeah, go ahead, get the pitch. Blow. How many know this song? Good. Yeah, let's sing it. Let's stand. Heart with loving heart united, met to know God's holy will. Let His love in us ignited, more and more our spirits fill. He the head, we are His members, we reflect the light He is. He's the master, we the brothers, He is ours and we are His. May we also love each other and all selfish claims deny. That the brother for the brother will not hesitate to die. Even so our Lord has loved us, for our lives He shed His blood. Still He grieves and still He suffers when we mar the brotherhood. Since, O Lord, You have demanded that our lives Your love should show, so we wait to be commanded to the world we know. Kindle in us love's compassion, so that everyone may see in our fellowship the promise of the new humanity. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So that everyone may see in our fellowship the promise of the new humanity. Are we living out that new humanity that the world wants to see, that Benji was talking about? And then the third point is building on the living stone. Like I said, we have to sing the same song. We have to build on the living stone. And why is it living? And why was it rejected? The stone that the builders rejected, because it was a living stone. Now, how would you carpenters like to start a foundation and put the cornerstone down there, and you start building and that thing starts moving because it's alive? You wouldn't like it. And neither did the Jews. They had a system. They had a code. They had everything set. They had their rules and standards and all the traditions of men. They had it set. Jesus came along and messed up their system. Messed up their system. They didn't like it. And they rejected Him. And He called them sepulcher full of dead men's bones. You must build on the foundation of the living stone. When you do that, you're going to move. You're going to move. Now, Jesus never changes. Never changes. But when you build your life on the living stone of Jesus Christ, then you will change from glory to glory. You will shine brighter and brighter into His image. As you allow the Holy Spirit, as you walk in the light, notice that it's action. It doesn't say as you stand in the light, right? As you walk in the light, there's a movement. The people that were sitting in darkness had seen a great light. And that light makes you walk. It's changing. Beware, you're going to change. You're not going to change like the world. You shouldn't start looking like the world if you change. If you're changing and walking in the light, you're going to look more like Christ. And you're going to look more different than the world. The more righteous you become, you will look more different. You will stand out. You're a called out people. You're a separated people of God. And you're going to look different. Don't throw that away. I know we have our traditions. We have things in our Anabaptist world that we're working through with traditions and this and that. Let's wrestle together, but let's not throw it out. If you throw this culture out, you adopt the world's culture. You can't throw a culture out. You adopt one culture or the other. And it's okay. Let's work together towards holiness. Let's build on that living stone. The stone that the builders rejected back then. What would our churches look like if there would be a healthy building up of each other? What if it would be commonplace among our churches for the brother and sister, for us to ask them, how's your walk with God? How are you doing, brother, your spiritual life? What if that would be commonplace? What if we'd see brothers, maybe it happens here, brothers and sisters afterwards putting their arms around each other and praying for each other, because of a struggle that they're going through. God is looking for healthy body members, ones that belong to each other, blend their differences, and build on the living stone of Jesus Christ. My brethren, it's time to lift up our heads. Time is short. Satan knows it. The end of this world is almost here. We need to lift up our eyes, for our redemption draws near. Things are getting tough. And I stay somewhat connected to what's happening in our nation. And things are going to get tough. I see it coming. The pressure is on. The church is the target of Satan. It's his target. He knows where the power lies. Let's press in closer to the light, brothers. Let's press in towards Jesus. It's time to worship our God. It's time to love Jesus with all our hearts. It's time to love our brothers. It's time to unite our churches, not split them. It's time to lay down our lives for our brothers, just as Jesus laid down his life for you, the church. And then, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Come for your spotless bride. God bless you all here. It's been a blessing to be with you. Let's strive together for perfection, and let's open ourselves to each other. Amen. God bless you.